You, the first chapter, at the very first verse. A record of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Now, I want to tell you that for 6 years, I taught Old Testament theology, so I can kind of run through this a little quickly. You know, I know these names fairly well, so, you know, keep up if you can. Abraham was the father of Isaac, Isaac the father of Jacob, Jacob the father of Judah and his brothers, Judah the father of Perez and Zerah, whose mother was Tamar. Perez was the father of Ezron, Ezron the father of Ram, Ram the father of Abinadad, Abinadad the father of Nahshon, Nahshon the father of Salmon, Salmon the father of Boaz, whose mother was Rahab. Boaz was the father of Obed, whose mother was Ruth. Obed was the mother of Jesse, and Jesse the father of King David. David was the father of Solomon, whose mother had been Uriah's wife. Solomon the father of Rehoboam, Rehoboam the father of Abijah, Abijah the father of Asa, Asa the father of Jehoshaphat, Jehoshaphat the father of Jehoram, Jehoram the father of Uzziah, Uzziah the father of Jotham, Jotham the father of Ahaz, Ahaz the father of Hezekiah, Hezekiah the father of Manasseh, Manasseh the father of Amon, Amon the father of Josiah, and Josiah the father of Jeconiah and his brothers at the time of the exile to Babylon. How am I doing? After the exile to Babylon, Jeconiah was the father of Shealtiel. Shealtiel was the father of Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel, the father of Abiud. Abiud, the father of Eliakim. Eliakim, the father of Azor. Azor, the father of Zadok. Zadok, the father of Akim. Akim, the father of Eliud. Eliud, the father of Eleazar. Eleazar, the father of Matan. Matan, the father of Jacob. And Jacob, the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called the Christ. How'd I do? And I said to them, have you noticed something strange about the genealogy of Jesus? Oh, we've got all this begetting and begatting going on. All these men who were the great men of the Bible that we read about, that we think we know their stories. But the truth of the matter is, when it comes to the Old Testament, we know basically the stories that were given to us when we were in Sunday school. And those were watered down just a little bit. You know, we talk about David, that shepherd boy who went out in the field and he saw that giant, and that giant was screaming down curses, and he said, you know, you're not going to talk about my God like that. And he picked up a little slingshot and a pebble and he slung it at him. But we're never told that David had also caught wind of the fact that if he killed this giant, he got to marry the princess. See, we never told that part. You know, and he was thinking, she looks pretty good. You know, my father won't have to pay taxes. This could be a nice life. You know, there was more to it than just that he was hurling down insults at the God of Israel. So I sat down with this editor and I said, check this out, will you? According to the genealogy of Jesus, there are five women who are mentioned, five. And women were not typically mentioned in the Bible, basically because they had a very small role in life. The woman's place was truly in the home. And was nowhere else. It was not out in public. Only very rarely. Women like Deborah was the exception to the rule. And the first woman that is mentioned in this genealogy of Jesus is a woman named Tamar. Now, Tamar is talked about in Genesis 38. And it goes like this. If you remember the story of Joseph and his coat of many colors, well, he had all those brothers, remember? Their father was Jacob, Jacob who became Israel, Israel who became an entire country, the 12 tribes, etc. One of those brothers was named Judah, yes, Lion of, okay, Lion of Judah. Judah had a wife and they had some sons, and at some point they moved into the land of Canaan, where he began to take wives, and I'm gonna do this just so we can see to the hello. He began to take wives, you know, for his son. And the first wife that he took for his oldest son was a girl named Tamar. And as soon as Tamar and this young man were married, he died. There was a reason for this, you see, because this son was evil. And God did not look kindly on the evil that this man practiced. And so the boy just died. Now, of course, Judah is heartbroken. This was his son. He can't quite understand it. But according to the law of the Jewish people, if a man died and his wife had not yet had a son, then the next son, the next brother, would marry the girl. And when they had a son, he would take the name of the brother who died. And in that way, every man's lineage continued. So Judah did what all good Jew boys would do. He brought Tamar to his second son, and they got married. But this boy did not like the idea of the possibility of her giving birth to a child and yet not carrying his name. And so, according to the Bible, it says he spilled his seed on the ground. Those are the kind of things we don't talk about in Sunday school when we're 5 years old. He spilled his seed on the ground. Well, that was evil in the sight of God, and so God killed him. So Judah is thinking, good grief, every time I marry this girl to my sons, they die. So it must be her. Can't be my sons. So he says to her, he says, you know what? It's going to be a while before my next son is old enough to be your husband. So why don't you go back to your father's house, and when he is old enough, I will come and get you. And until then, take care, ta-ta, and we'll see you just as soon as we can. And so she goes off to her father's house wearing her widow's clothes because that was the proper thing for her to do. And according to the Bible, it says that a long time went by, and she's waiting. She's still waiting. And let me tell you what a girl could do while she was waiting. Nothing. She couldn't go to the university. She couldn't get her degree. She could do nothing. She just had to stay in her father's home and do nothing and wait and wear these dark clothes. Well, then she gets news one day. She hears that her father-in-law's wife, her mother-in-law, has passed away and that she had passed away some time ago. And she begins to add things up. And she's thinking, you know what? That youngest son, he's old enough to be my husband now. Something is fishy in Denmark. And so when she hears that her father-in-law is coming through town, or basically passing by the gates of town on his way to shearing sheep, because it was sheep shearing time, she says, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to dress up like a prostitute. I'm going to sit at the gates. And when he walks by, knowing that he hasn't been with a woman in a long time, I'm going to offer him myself. The time is perfect. I can get pregnant. I can finally have a child. It was the only right she had as a woman in those days. She was actually righteous in what she was doing. So she took off her widow's clothes. She put on her prostitute clothes. I guess she just happened to have something hanging in the closet. I don't know. But she put a veil over her eyes, and she went and she sat out by the gate. And lo and behold, here comes Judah. Judah, as in Lion of Judah. Okay? And he sees her, and something stirs inside of him. And he says, hey, baby. And she says, hello there. And she says, would you like to take me home for the evening? And he says, well, I would love to, but I don't have any money. I have nothing on me. And she says to him, well, I tell you what, let me see what you got. And he says, well, I have my staff and I have my seal. Seal was something that men wore around their necks. It literally was their seal. It marked anything they said, boom, this is it. It's like, whatever I say is truth, okay? And he said, but what I'll do, because see, I have to have these things, so what I'll do is when I get to my sheep in the morning, I will send a sheep back to you, and then I can get my staff and my seal back. And she says, okay. Now, this really concerns me a little bit, because I'm thinking dinner and a movie, maybe, but a sheep, I don't know, you know? But she was desperate, so she went off with this father-in-law of hers, and I want you to really picture this. How many of you have fathers-in-law? Ooh. I mean, you got to be desperate with a capital D, you know? So off she goes with Judah. And I know in the movie he was cute, but who knows what he looked like in real life. I mean, he was a shepherd, for heaven's sakes. They stunk. They didn't take baths, you know, and shave. And they do what they do. And he leaves his staff and his seal. And the next day, he sends his best friend, the Adullamite, back with the sheep. And he's carrying the sheep. And he says, where's the shrine prostitute? I said, there's no shrine prostitute here. It goes, oh. Now, you know, that must have been a moment in the locker room. Can you imagine? Yeah. You were with who? Okay. So he goes back to his friend, Judah, and says, here's your sheep. There is no shrine prostitute. He goes, I'm almost positive. I was with her last night. I mean, she's got my seal. She's got my staff. He says, nope. And if you don't hush, you're going to be a laughing stock. They're going to think you've gone nuts. So he says, okay. 3 months go by, and they get word that Tamar is pregnant. Well, this can only mean one thing. She's been with a man. Bring her out. We'll have her stoned. We'll have her flogged. We'll have her killed. How dare she do this to my son who's waiting patiently over here for her? And they bring her out, and she extends the staff and the seal, and she says, the father of my child is the owner of these. To which Judah says, you are more righteous than I. And he takes her into his home. He never touches her again, but she gives birth to twins. One is Perez. And out of the lineage of Perez came Messiah. The story continues. If you turn to the